been in the what series? The When Jesus series. And we only have 3 messages left in that series before we go into a new year. But while we've been taking time looking at the return of our Lord, how many of you are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, today, coming up on Thanksgiving, I thought we would stop and thank Jesus. So we're in the When Jesus series. Today is Thank Jesus. And when we come to Christmas, why Jesus? All right? Fun. Good. It's awesome. I want to thank Jesus in my life. Well, but we must understand something as we look at this today. To thank Jesus properly and to thank Him effectively, let's start by talking about an airplane. That's the best place to start when we think about thanking Jesus, right? Let me ask you some questions about airplanes. Do you think airplanes can be disgruntled? Do you think they could be complainers? Man, I'm getting ready to get on this. This plane is complaining. Do you think planes are ungrateful? Or that, hey, that's such a happy plane. Now that is one thankful plane. Do we ever describe planes like that? No. That's not how we would ever speak of an inanimate object. But what if I told you that airplanes have an attitude? That airplane has an attitude. You better hope it does. In fact, every airplane has a gauge on its instrument panel that measures its attitude. And you're going to say, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought that was altitude. Well, it has an attitude gauge. And it's not a gauge that measures whether the plane is happy or sad or glad or mad. But rather, it measures its position in flight. Whether the plane's nose is up or whether the plane's nose is down in relation to the horizon. And I would imagine we would all not want to stay on a plane long that has a bad attitude. When it comes to people, not planes, it's about a mental position that one has as they move and fly through life. We speak of people as having what? He has such a positive attitude. Hey, that's a negative attitude. Hey, that's a bad attitude. Or, hey, has anyone told you you're in need of an attitude adjustment? In order to thank Jesus the way we should, we must take time in our life to look at our position in life, to look at our attitude. Is it right on the horizon? Are we flying right when it comes to Thanksgiving? There's so often we need to let the Bible be our gauge, to let the Word of God be the instrument, the measurement of our Thanksgiving attitude. So let's look at our attitude today, what God will want, and let's kind of see how we are flying through daily life. Lord, I just thank you today for the song that you laid in our heart to say, Jesus, thank you. You're our salvation. You're our Redeemer. You're our Savior. All that you've done for us. Oh, Lord, may we thank you. May we thank you in our actions, in our deeds, our words, in our heart. May they be true, authentic praise to you. Today, Lord, we want you to be glorified. We want you to be honored and praised. And we want to give all of our thanks to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to look at a few things that will help us have the proper attitude when it comes to Thanksgiving. Somewhat to help you look at that attitude gauge, so to speak, in your life. So I'm going to look at some points throughout as we move through God's word. And here's the first. We will thank Jesus with a biblical Thanksgiving attitude when our thanks is abundantly given. There's one. When it's abundantly given. With my mouth, I will give thanks. How? Abundantly to the Lord. Psalm 109:30. When you think of abundantly or abundant, what comes to mind? This word abundantly is translated as exceedingly. Or excessive, richly, greatly, more, most, much. Abundant thanksgiving to the Lord. We get the idea, right? And if that's not there, we have to ask ourselves why, and then go remind ourselves of things. So why should we ever hold back in giving an abundant thanksgiving to the Lord? I mean, has he not abundantly blessed us? Rhetorical question. I mean, what is the answer? Yes. Let's start with Romans 5, 20 through 21. Where sin increased, grace abounded, abundantly, superabounded, all the more to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. When you look over at Ephesians 3, does he not do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us? To him be the glory in the church, to him be the glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen, Lord. Yes, amen. Are we not living in this realm of the riches of his grace, which he has not only not given to us, but Ephesians 1, 7 through 8, this riches of his grace that he has lavished on us. Wow. Listen to this expectation because of our great gift of salvation. Actually, God was praised this morning in Grace Intercessors as someone's favorite verse. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So no wonder we should be overflowing with gratitude. The first thing we need to see is our thanksgiving needs to be abundant when we remind ourselves of what God has done for us. An abundantly given thanksgiving. Next, let's look at another word. We will thank Jesus with a biblical thanksgiving attitude when our thanks is, here's the rub for us many times, willingly given. Willingly given. Willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. It's a mindset and a determined heart. Psalm 54, 6. The NIV says, I will sacrifice a free will offering. Where do we see that free will offering? We see that in the Old Testament in the sacrifices. In the Old Testament economy, there was something called a peace offering that one could make to God. These peace offerings were expressions of thanksgiving to God. And there were three kinds of peace offerings. The first one, there was a thanksgiving for deliverance. Deliverance from specific trials or specific dangers, etc. And the focus in that peace will offering was upon God's mercy. Okay? There was the votive or the vow free will offering. And during times of trouble, one might take and make a vow that if God would deliver them, if God would remove whatever, then they would do this or they would do that if God would answer, and they would make a vow to God. And God expected them to follow through on their vow and bring a peace offering of thanksgiving to God. The third there was a free will peace offering of thanksgiving, which expressed the worshipers' overflowing gratitude to God for His mercy and His goodness in general. There was no particular event to occasion this thanksgiving. It was simply called a sacrifice of thanksgiving and was associated with praise and joy. All these peace offerings are described in Leviticus 3, described of deliverance, described of vows, or voluntary. They were all offered with the how? Some poor lamb. They were offered with the sacrifice of an animal having to shed its blood. And when you read through Leviticus, they would put their hand on that animal. As I went through Leviticus in our Built by Grace Bible reading ministry, I was reminded over and over again how much sacrificing took place, how much shedding of blood was needed just to get right for a moment and get close to the Lord for a moment, just to show authenticity of our thankfulness as well. Aren't you thankful today we don't have to do that? For today it is God who sacrificed Himself so that we can now come freely before Him. We don't understand the concept of shedding of this blood, of all of the sacrificial system just to get right with God, just to be able to say, God, I want to thank You. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might, what? Bring us to God. One of the greatest parts of salvation is that we are separated from God, and it was Jesus through His sacrifice that made a pathway or reconciled us to God the Father, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Think of Isaiah 53, 5 through 6. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for what? For our iniquities. The chastening for all well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. And here we all are. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us to fall on Him. Whoa. So let's throw a therefore in there. Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, do we forget the magnitude of the Lord's sacrifice for us? Can we not sometimes stumble through our days and overlook the magnitude of that? Do we really understand that we do not go to God in fear of being struck dead if we approach His throne? No. We can go boldly into the presence of God. We can go boldly to the throne of grace because of the Lord's shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that should give us thanks anywhere and anytime, abundantly and willingly. Amen? And yet, do we really? Sometimes I feel it's like pulling teeth to get a praise to the Lord. Can I get a praise to the Lord? Amen. Man, when it comes to somebody asking me, hey, can I get a praise to the Lord? I want to keep all my teeth. I don't want them all pulled out. It should flow out of me willingly, abundantly. I wonder if God sometimes looks at us as we look at our little children sometimes, who take without thanksgiving. Now, what do you say? Thank you. You have to teach a little child to be thankful. Thanksgiving should never have to be pulled out of us. And it should never have to be ginned up in us. It should never have to be coerced out of me, coerced out of us. Nor should we ever have Thanksgiving needed to be guilt-tripped out of us either. It should naturally exist in us. If we have that Thanksgiving attitude that willingly and cheerfully thanks God for all his blessings. Next, we will thank Jesus with a biblical Thanksgiving attitude when our thanks is unreservedly given. Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with what? All my heart. Not 80%. Not 70, unreservedly 100%. I will give you thanks with all my heart. Psalm 138:1. Think about this comment for a moment. Shannon, it just hit me. I'm going to throw you in here. I know you're not here, but I'm going to throw you in here. When I say to you, honey, I love you with all my heart. Do we know what that means? Do you know what it means when somebody says, I love you with all my heart? They mean that they love you without reservation. They love you with a no holding back kind of love. They love you with no doubts and no questions about their love. It leaves you in a very safe, safe place. However, on the return, God says, look, I love you this way. I want that same type of love from you in response. You see, when we have a biblical Thanksgiving attitude, there is no situation in life that causes any reservation or even hesitation in one's gratitude and thankfulness to God. And you say, wait a minute, even in the most difficult trials, even in the most difficult circumstances? Yes. Such an unreserved and thanks and gratitude comes from an unqualified knowledge of God and trust in God. You can only say yes if you know God and you truly know who he is. We often fail because we don't take the time to get to know him as we should. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. That's a hint right there. If you're not studying the Word of God, you're having trouble understanding who he is, especially in the hard times. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is. Not sometime. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. In my heart of sorrows, or where I feel God may be missing, if I don't know the Lord is gracious, know the Lord is compassionate, if I don't know who he is, I will very quickly fall into a heart of ingratitude, and my attitude will start taking me down towards the ground. Boom. Until I crash and burn. When you know the Lord, when you truly know him, when you study him, when you study his works, his wonders, his grace, his compassion, his mercy, his forgiveness, his long-suffering, and then that study goes beyond knowledge and goes to experiential, you can thank him for any and every, in any situation without hesitation. Without reservation, when you really know him and really trust him. Can he be trusted Can you trust your life to Him? Surely this is the key to carrying out the biblical admonition, in everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And always giving thanks for all things. I don't like the words always. You mean all things? You see, your knowledge of God, His character, and His conduct, the works of His hands, Psalms 111:7 says, are truth and justice. It has everything to do with one's ability to give unreserved thanks to Him in every circumstance. Psalms 118:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Even in my hardest times, I must know that He is good. And when God says good, I don't mean that's a good cheeseburger. Not good the way we use good. It's good in perfection with no contamination. It's good in and of itself. There's nothing else. It's just good. Is He good? Do you really believe He is good? Is He good today and bad tomorrow? Is He good when He's blessing, but not so good when hard times come? Huh? Yeah. Is He only good when He meets our hopes and dreams? I think this is where we stumble the most. This is not what I planned, Lord. This is not how I pictured it. This is not how I dreamed. This is not how it's supposed to go. Is He good when He only responds according to the way we want Him to? And you've all said it, no. He is always good. When you truly know God, when you truly know the God of the Bible, there will never be any hesitation or reservation in your thanksgiving to Him in any situation. However, at times He has to remind us of that. Cut yourself a little bit of slack. If you say, well, I faltered there. That's okay. Don't stay there. We must remember that He has a purpose and a plan. And the very fact that He chose to save me, that is enough if that's all He's ever going to do. But we know He'll do far more abundantly, more than all we can ask or think or imagine. He doesn't just stay with salvation. Praise God. We will thank Jesus with a biblical thanksgiving attitude when our thanks now is continually given. In God, we have boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to Your name forever, Psalm 44:8. We just saw in Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. Jim, why aren't you continually, Jim? Don't stop every second of every day. Is that what it means, that we just aren't going to go to work? There's just no job to get done? We're just, I thank You, Lord, I thank You, Lord, I thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord. Thank continually, all day? Here it has the same concept, the same idea, the same teaching, like Paul's other words of the Thessalonians. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. How can I pray without ceasing and continually giving thanks 24/7 at the same time? Obviously, that's not what the Word of God is saying. The idea is not that one rejoices and praises and thanks God constantly without ceasing 24/7. It's this, but that these things are to be constantly reoccurring in the face of anything. They are to be the bent, the normality, our path of life, in anything and everything that may come our way. Let me share with you a bold but biblical statement. No trial or tribulation can for long interrupt or corrupt the biblically grateful heart. The biblical thanksgiving attitude constantly finds reasons to thank God. And thus, thanksgiving reoccurs in every situation like a cork popping to the surface of the water. You cannot keep it down. The thankful heart can be tested, but not defeated. I thought, wow, when I put that down, created that PowerPoint, I thought, wow, yeah, yes. On Wednesday morning, I couldn't sleep. I went to bed early the night before. I'm going to start going to bed early to get better health. And all that did was make me wake up at 2 a.m. So I laid there. I tell my dad every morning, hey, how'd you sleep? Oh, not so good last night. Hey, how'd you sleep? Pretty good last night. Hey, lay there, Dad. Lay there. Just lay there. I realize that advice does not work too well. So I was up. I decided to come into the office very early and work in the quiet of the building with the lights down low and dimmed, with that just awesome atmosphere with steam coming off your coffee. And after hours of work, I'm thinking, wow, so much is getting done. So much is being taken advantage of. Right at this slide. Right after I completed it. Bing! Why aren't you moving cursor? Escape. Oh no. I look up, autosave off! This whole message? I'm gonna lose it all. I even called Brian. And you know, Brian, his sleep is all night up, all day sleep. He works on a different schedule. I'm like, oh Lord, please let Brian be pulling an all-nighter. I tried everything to get that cursor to move and not become a cursor myself. And after trying everything, I shut her down. And I rebooted and lost all of it. Gone. Fingers on the button. I kid you not, I do not exaggerate this at all. The moment I saw, I let go, and the computer went, ring, ring. Mine goes, quack, quack. My phone rang. Hi, honey, good morning. I hope you're having a good day. I told her what had happened after I was moaning and groaning. And I looked at the message and said, you wouldn't know what the last thing I said? Thanksgiving recurs in every situation like a cork popping to the surface of the water. You can't keep it down. The thankful heart can be tested but not defeated. I'm like, that's in my faith. And God tested me in a small way. But to me at the time, it was big. And so I got up and I thanked the Lord and I wandered in here in the dark because I knew what lay before me. And I prayed to him. I said, look, Lord, though I wonder to you what good will come of this, so you so have done. And then I was fine. You know, the Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. Even if we don't see them as mercy, he does. Yet Henry Ward Beecher said, "The unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as a magnet finds iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessing." The Thanksgiving attitude says that through it all and after all, I am still thankful for God, even if I cannot see what to be thankful for in the moment, because I know God and He's doing this for good. And lastly today, we will thank Jesus with a biblical Thanksgiving attitude when our thanks is verbally given. This is huge in the Christian walk. "With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many I will praise Him." We looked at this earlier to show that our Thanksgiving attitude should be abundantly given, but this verse also says, "With my mouth and in the midst of many." Psalm 111:1, "Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and the assembly. I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name." Psalm 18:49. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations." Psalm 108:3. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Speak of His wonders. Glory in His holy name." Psalm 105, 1 through 3. We can and we ought to feel grateful in our hearts to God, should we not? But this ought to be not only our disposition, but our attitude. But this disposition should be expressed on our lips. On our lips. The Bible says we ought to also speak. Listen to this in Psalm 107, 1 through 2. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is" what? "For His loving kindness is everlasting." But here's the next part I didn't read earlier. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It's with our mouth we are to give thanks to the Lord. It's with our mouth we are to say He is good. So say so. "Let the redeemed," notice that word, "the redeemed." If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has redeemed you out of death, out of sin, and purchased you unto Himself. "Let the redeemed say so." So let's verbalize our thanks to God. When you're having a hard time, write your thanksgivings down. Tell them back to God. One of the greatest ways we bless God is to bless Him with our mouth, speaking truth of Him back to the Lord. And others hear that praise. We're pretty good at verbalizing in detail what we want from God. But we're much more lackadaisical in verbalizing our thanksgiving to God. You know, here's the truth. Think about how often we sing praises to God. Is our attitude right when we sing? When that praise team is up here, is there joy on your lips? Does your face show it? You see, God is ever present, and He's deeply desiring and demanding that. And He's, just think about this. Next time we're singing together, don't think of anyone around you. Just think of God sitting there looking at you. Ooh. Just sitting there with you, taking in the praise that He so deserves, with a smile on His face. Or is He going to be like, "Man, He so deserves it"? We all can fail in any one of these areas, and we often do. And if anyone has fallen into that, start applying abundantly, willingly, unreservedly, continually, and verbally, thanking Jesus to your life. And watch how your heart and mind will dramatically change through the Holy Spirit. You step up and do that, God will step in and do the rest. Let me encourage you to develop the wonderful exercise of verbalizing your thanks to God before others. Many of these things we must choose to do, but the heart will quickly follow. Magnify God. Give God glory. Give Him credit in every area of your life. Extol His name before others. And then as we close, let's just close with this. Let me encourage you to do one more thing on top of all of that. While you are verbalizing your thanks to God, how about stepping up your thanks towards people that God has placed in your life? The Apostle Paul, he did this. He not only thanked God for the people in his life, but he often noted something to thank them for. And they knew it, since he put it in letters to them. For example, to Romans 16, Paul wrote, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers, fellow worker in Christ Jesus, whom for my life they risked their own neck, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches." He said to the Philippians, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, in view of what? Your participation." That word is partnership in the gospel. He means with me from the first day until now. This word participation in the Greek is the word koinonia. It means fellowship. It's a distinct, purposeful fellowship. The word describes a very close, mutual relationship accompanied with involvement in common purpose. You get that? I want to take this opportunity. I believe we always should. As your pastor today, to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to do the very same thing for your koinonia in my life, for your partnership, for your fellowship, your partnership with me in the gospel from the first day, as Paul said, I became your pastor until now. I praise God for that, and I want to thank you. I also want to thank all of you, and those of you who are not even able to be here today, so many involved, for going out knocking on strangers' doors and neighborhoods, to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, to stopping to pray with someone. I want to thank you for passing out your literature and tracts and having a heart to engage others for Christ, serving in the community, helping people with their needs, meeting the needs of others. I want to thank you for giving of the finances God has given in your life to promote and proclaim the gospel, and giving love gifts to meet the needs of those that have fallen on hard times. I want to thank you, all of you who dig in and prepare and teach Sunday school lessons, leading Bible studies, working in children's departments and nurseries and with the youth. All of you who sacrifice weekends and nights to fix up this building. All of you who cut that grass, turn that mulch, pull those weeds, paint the facility, plant flowers, clean up the building, keeping the body secure and safe. Myriads of little jobs that must be done or nothing will get done. How about all those meals, cooking meals and counting money and making coffee and collecting the offering, hours of preparation for worship and praise team, all the tech team and all those who serve, all the needy who have been fed, sending cards of encouragement at that time when it's most needed, knocking on doors at 9 o'clock at night just to say, "Hey, can I connect with you?" Not to mention your faithful participation in prayer, all the serving in so many ministries, the administration staff, All of that is the participation in the gospel, the koinonia, the fellowship of the saints. And I praise God. I want to thank you. Let me encourage you to not ever take your brothers and sisters for granted. Don't take one another for granted. Don't take the time to thank them for what they mean to you when it's too late. Don't let the little things they do go unnoticed in your life. Appreciate them and recognize them. There is an author who penned these thought-provoking words. I would rather have one little rose from the garden of a friend than to have the choicest flower when my stay on earth must end. I would rather have a pleasant word and kindness said to me than flattery when my heart is still and life has ceased to be. I would rather have a loving smile from friends I know are true than tears shed round my casket when to this world I bid adieu. Bring me all your flowers today, whether pink or white or red. I'd rather have one blossom now than a truckload when I'm dead. Redeem the time. Say it now. You cannot speak a word of thanks too soon. You cannot. It's one thing that in the fruit of the Spirit cannot be held back. You can give it away. You can keep giving away. Give your thanks away. Say it now. You cannot speak a word of thanks too soon because you never know how soon it will be too late. So as we close, ask yourself, with the Spirit's guidance in your life, how is your biblical thank Jesus Thanksgiving attitude gauge? Would you say you have it? That your thanks to Jesus is abundant, willing, unreserved, continuous, and verbal? If it's not where it needs to be, praise God, He's in you. Let it be there. If you were on an airplane, would your attitude be one of nose up or nose down? You know, the great thing about pull up, pull up. You can pull up. Let's make it our mission to be more grateful, more thankful than we've ever been. To cultivate an attitude of gratitude with praise and thanksgiving to God. So this week, cultivate that and cultivate it every day. All that He has given us. Thank Him for the people that He has surrounded us with and for the blessings, all the blessings we see everywhere in our life. Romans 1:21 tells us that one of the very first sins expressed about fallen humanity, though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. That accompanied the heart of man listed as the beginning of sin. Though they knew God, they did not honor Him or give Him thanks. Let that not be said of us, amen? Ingratitude is more a part of us than what we want. Therefore, the prayer of George Herbert is very apropos. Our Father, Thou hast given us so much. Do please give us one more thing. A grateful heart. Ask Him for a grateful heart. Lord, I just thank You today that we have so much to thank You for. May our hearts be grateful. May we, in our heart, continually, abundantly, unreservedly be thanking You in all things. And may our lips proclaim Your praise. I thank You, Lord, for one another. I thank You that You brought us into one another's life, how You've saved us, how we're Your family. Lord, may we be more willing to see the value and the precious gift of the family of Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. May you be praised. We give you all of our gratitude, and we give you all of our heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's please.